I'm Henry Bailey Brown, and here are the top stories, more like looking down because the prompter's down here today, the top stories for the week of April 12th, 2017. Microsoft revealed the specs for some forthcoming hardware, and it's nothing short of impressive. At the heart of the device will be an on-system chip packing 8 custom 32-bit CPU cores clocking up to 2.3 GHz apiece, plus 40 GPU cores at 1,172 MHz apiece for a total of over 6 teraflops of graphics crunching capacity. 12 gigabytes of GDDR5 RAM will enjoy memory bandwidth of 326 gigabytes a second, a 1.2 terabyte hard disk, and a 4K Blu-ray round things out. That's a very great piece of product right there. Sadly, this is not a new desktop computer or server. It's the next Xbox, aka Project Scorpio. That is really, really impressive. Project Scorpio will be a significant device because all the power described above there so that games can deliver 4K video and VR experiences. The new Xbox goes on sale just in time for Christmas. Oh my gosh, that just blows my mind.
Sounds
Project
amazing.
Scorpio, because from the gaming community, we've been hearing about Project Scorpio for a while.
Sounds like a cake.
It's a cake. But seriously though, that's incredible, and to know that that's a gaming console, right? Because I used to be a console player, but then I moved over to PC because of performance, everything else like that. But to learn that that's an Xbox, that's a gaming console.
I would love it for someone to hack it so that it could be turned into a little supercomputer.
Well, that's the thing, too, is
so
that
so ridiculously powerful.
It is Microsoft, so right now there is kind of a way how you can stream your games using Windows 10, and there is that capability. So I wonder if they are going to make it kind of a little bit more compatible with, like, PC usage, right? So, like, kind of how you said, I'm not sure if there's going to be any Linux-based.
Like a docking station or something.
Just something. Like, that's just incredible,
you've
really.
You've got a 6-teraflop computer running Microsoft Word.
It's just got... Hey, that's... You can write a pretty intense book with that.
Come up pretty fast. You know, no more waiting.
But no, I'm personally very impressed by that. Next up is a very interesting piece of news that has been all over the internet already. The sirens are usually used to warn of extreme weather events in Dallas, right? So a hacker has been blamed for setting off more than 150 warning sirens in the U.S. city of Dallas over the weekend. The sirens are usually to warn of extreme weather events such as tornadoes. All 156 sirens in the city were activated at 11:42 p.m. on Friday, and the noise lasted for about 90 minutes. Technicians for the Office of Emergency Management were eventually able to shut down the warning system and find what they said was the evidence of the siren system being hacked. Last year, someone hacked into a number of traffic signs in Dallas and used them to publish jokes. There has been no suggestion that the same people were involved in this current sirens incident. So that would be interesting, waking up at 11 p.m. hearing air raid sirens go off, not knowing what that was.
Oh,
that would be a little bit scary.
The poor folks.
But
oh, yeah.
Well, no, because...
Are you in Dallas? Did you have to sit through that?
Well, no, because it would be scary, too, because that happened after, I believe, the events in Sweden, right? Because there was an attack in Sweden off the road. So just hearing that, it would be very scary. So I'm happy to hear that it was just hacking and nothing too serious. So
it does kind of reveal this, like, this is an issue that, you know, that they need to tighten things up.
They do.
Maybe these things are, you know, how does this happen?
Well, really, I wonder if it's just like some 15-year-old saying, oh, what do I want to do tonight, right? Because we don't know yet. That's really
hacking to the sirens.
Hey, let's do it, guys.
Let's do it.
Not
prove
trying
it
to
be done.
Say, okay,
some
here we
dare.
Go. Yeah. Modern smartphones have a wealth of sensors inside, from accelerometers to gyroscopes. While sensors like these make phones more powerful, allowing to use your phone's orientation as an input mechanism in a video game, for example, they also do present a potential way for hackers to figure out a 4-digit PIN. Computer scientists from Newcastle University in the UK found that by monitoring sensors like the phone's, for example, accelerometer, gyroscope, magnometer, and other sensors such as those, which detects things like the device's motion and orientation, they're able to figure out a user's PIN around 74% of the time just on the first guess alone.
Jeez. Wow.
The number rose to 94% by the third try that they attempted. That's just crazy. The entry point for the attack to detect the PIN was a JavaScript exploit delivered through the browser on the phone. All the smartphone user had to do was simply click on the link that had malicious software, and then that would be detect the phone sensor data going on in the background. So I wonder if that's both like Android as well as iPhones or anything else. So in the case of Safari, the method worked even when the phone was locked over the link. So like after the link had been clicked on, meaning that it could detect the PIN typed into an unlocked to unlock the physical phone, the physical device. One researcher said that they reported their findings to Apple, who have since fixed the exploit. So Apple did fix the exploit. That fix happened last year as part of the iOS 9.3 update. Kevin Fu, an associate professor of electrical engineering and computer science at the University of Michigan, has said, quote, sensors may represent the weakest link in IoT security. So ambiguous, yet so untrustworthy and so poorly misunderstood, unquote. So just that entire segment right there, that's a little bit unnerving, right? Because it's something that we take for granted every single day, and it's sitting right there for hackers to exploit. And all it takes is one little link. And again, we never heard of this before today.
Here's my phone, and you're in a crowded room, or Henry's
exactly.
standing right next to you, so you're kind of like this when you put in your PIN, mm-hmm. to realize that my little bumps of my fingers
are able to give away...
Can give it away to a JavaScript that's running in the background on my phone?
It's creepy, but it's possible, and that's scary. And we didn't even know about this until today. And to know that Apple already knew about it and they fixed it, as they said, mm-hmm. and there's other things out there like Touch ID and stuff, but who says that they don't use a JavaScript to try to unlock your fingerprints?
The other thing that this opens up as kind of a revelation, and I think people need to maybe clue into this more,
yeah.
is that viruses are not the main threat that are out there right now. And I get mm-hmm. this a lot where, you know, people don't want to get the security suite that is going to protect them against exploits because it costs more money. They just want yeah. the plain antivirus. And I have to explain, that's fine if that's what you want. That's absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. However, you need to understand that JavaScript, Flash, Adobe Flash,
yeah.
these are all entry points. Infected macros in Word documents mm-hmm. that aren't viruses. They're entry points for exploits into mm-hmm. your system. And when we realize, my system can get exploited and damaged and compromised, or my privacy, like my PIN for my phone, compromised because of JavaScript. It's not a virus.
Man, oh man.
It's just a JavaScript running in the background that can capture sensor data.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if it's Apple, Android, anything else, it can still do it. So it's one thing to watch out for. And make sure that your PIN for your bank isn't the same as your phone, right?
Good idea.
Knock on wood. Okay, so moving on. Canonical is to stop developing Unity 8 Convergence, Ubuntu phones and tablets, and Ubuntu 18.04 LTS will use GNOME instead of Unity as its default desktop.
Wow.
That's a little bit of a news right there. Unconfirmed rumors are circulating that Ubuntu's founder, Mark Shuttleworth, may be returning as Canonical's CEO, a role he stepped down from back in 2009. He indeed announced that Unity would be dropped, with GNOME being the desktop of choice for Ubuntu moving forward. He says Canonical will invest in Ubuntu. GNOME will be the intent of delivering a fantastic all-GNOME desktop. So that experience really does affect Linux users out there.
We all know that he means Canonical.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a Mac guy. Yeah, Canonical.
You know what? This came as a big shocker this week to realize that the old CEO, the founder of Ubuntu, mm-hmm. Mark Shuttleworth, who we've had on the show, who left as the CEO, stepped down, is now kind of reprising some form of a role. We don't know to what extent,
mm-hmm.
but the rumor is, mm-hmm. this is only a rumor, Henry,
mm-hmm.
maybe he's trying to get back in as CEO. We don't know that.
That's interesting.
And that's, you know, right now completely under embargo if it's even known. Mm-hmm. But regardless, the fact that they're dropping Unity, mm-hmm. which is what pulled me away from Ubuntu in the first place.
Yeah.
And going back to GNOME. Now it's GNOME 3, so it's not going back to the good old days of, you know, Warty Warthog and, you know, the GNOME 2 days. Might still want to go with Ubuntu Mate, mm-hmm. but it's a big transition for Canonical. And to think that they are going to be now taking their investment time, revenue, dollars, and putting that into GNOME, mm-hmm. the GNOME project that for a little while there was starting to look like maybe they didn't have what it took as a development team to continue on.
Yeah.
And now they've got Canonical backing them up.
Yeah, that's huge. That's interesting to hear. Well, it's a little bit of like a repeat of history, right? Because like I remember back just in history class, like kind of like what Apple did with Steve Jobs,
yeah.
right? So like
he
came back when they were changing their user interface, right?
He redeemed the whole company.
Yeah, but this is really interesting to see because I don't want to say it's a repeat of history, but we are seeing this sudden change out of nowhere.
I think we're at a time where we're going to see a lot of change with Ubuntu, with mm-hmm. Canonical, and the direction that they're going to be taking. But we don't know what that's going to be yet.
Yeah.
Because there hasn't been that official announcement, and, you know, Mark stepping up and saying what's going to happen next,
mm-hmm.
other than this one big deal.
Yeah. So I apologize for mispronouncing a name there, guys.
It's all good.
But thanks again for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all of your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Henry Bailey Brown.